Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Cutting Teeth by Tyler Childers from his recent album, Snipe Hunter. He'll be headlining Mempho Festival, Mempho Fest on Sunday night.
Is he in the category of, like, he's massive and I just don't realize it?
He's more massive than I realize. I think I actually love this album. I think it's the best album of the year. But I was on YouTube. I saw a clip of an Olivia Rodrigo concert in either Louisville or Lexington. I can't remember, but in Kentucky. And she's doing the thing, Taylor Swift does it, other people do it, where you bring out someone local to do a duet at the end. And she brings out Tyler Childers to do the song of his from a few years ago called All Yourn. And it's in Kentucky, and he's from Kentucky, I get that, but it's an Olivia Rodrigo concert. It's her audience.
Very different audience. Yes.
They don't know. And when that song kicked off, it was deafening. And every single person in that arena knew every word of that song.
It does seem like, are really the only people selling records anymore the country people?
Maybe, but he's not even like country in that way.
Like folky,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not on like, you know, country radio stations or anything. You know? And so I do think the mainstream country audience sells like physical media in a way that a lot of places don't, but that's not even really him.
So Jeff asked me, have you listened to the new Taylor Swift album yet?
No, I'm just not. I think Jeff's interest and my interests are different.
Yeah.
I think he's interested in her as a celebrity, and I just don't really care. I think her music is often good and interesting, and I'll get around to it. But the fact that it's the thing everyone is talking about doesn't put it any higher on the list of records for me to get to than, like, you know, some indie rock band I like that put out a record this week that nobody's talking about.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I'm somewhat excited just because Max Martin is my favorite pop songwriter. And he's heavily involved in this, but at the same time, it's like, I've not planned my schedule around listening to it.
Right.
So that's where we are. Okay, so you're just back from Nashville. I guess the first question that I have, because I've been trying to follow along on social media, but the biggest question I have is, what did y'all actually get to see at training camp?
Oh, you don't get to see anything at training camp. I mean, like pretty much nothing. I mean, you see a little bit, like, when they're completely done, some guys doing like some shooting and you know, a little bit of, you know, at the end of practice, just literally
free throw contest,
free throws or three pointers. You'll see some shooting. Actually, the weight room was exposed in this facility, so you can see guys in there like doing weights. There was the one day where they closed it off while because they brought people out of the gym for the interviews, and so that brings the media out of the gym for the interviews. And there was, on the first day, while that was happening, they closed the gym off, but it was the door that had it was a windowed door. So you could see Jaron going through a pretty vigorous, it looked like one-on-one workout at the end of practice. But it's more like you stand there and talk to people instead of seeing basketball happen.
So it's not all that different from the normal media setting that we see, which is they let you in at the end of practice, that kind of thing?
Just more expensive.
Yeah. Just you had to drive to do it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you had to travel. So how many guys do they have right now at camp? Because you're allowed to have more, right?
21 is, it used to be 20 for a training camp roster. They moved that to 21 when they expanded the two-way contracts from 2 to 3. So it's basically set up, but not every team is necessarily set up like this because not everyone maxes out their spots in training camp. But in theory, it's 15 main roster spots. The Grizzlies have all of those full. 3 two-way spots. The Grizzlies have all of those full. And that gives you an extra 3 spots to have guys just on your camp roster.
And the guys that they brought in were, so now is technically that is Mayshak, right? Is he one of the 3?
No.
Okay, so he's not even on that?
Not even on the training camp roster.
Okay, and then who was the guy that I texted you about
It's guys that don't matter. It's no offense to those guys. Braxton Key, Tyler Burton, and Lawson Lovering, who was on the summer league.
Key was the one I was, because I got confused by the way that the press release read. I was like, wait a minute. Did they sign a guy to the active roster?
So
like,
those guys, all those 3 will presumably be going to the Memphis Hustle, not as two-way guys, but as full Memphis Hustle players, unless they get some other offer somewhere else they prefer. But the idea is that they're there for training camp, and then they're moving on to the Hustle.
Okay. Was Edie's there as well?
Edie's there as well. The Mayshak thing, since you brought it up, because I bet there's some people wondering about that.
Yeah.
It's not even on the training camp roster. This gets into some, like, not salary cap, but roster management minutiae in terms of the rules. In order for a player to be on your training camp roster, they have to be signed to a contract of some kind. It can be a main roster contract, a two-way contract, or a training camp contract, which are called Exhibit 10. And then in order for them to go to the Memphis Hustle, they have to sign a separate contract from the Hustle, which means they have to be released from the contract you signed them to.
Okay.
And so the act of signing a guy and then releasing a guy, even if it's just a training camp contract, removes rights that you have to that player and lets them sign anywhere else. So if they put Mayshak on the training camp roster and then cut him in order to re-sign him with the Hustle, they would lose their rights to him that they have via the draft. So that's why he's not on the training camp roster.
So this isn't some show of they don't have faith. It's the opposite.
They don't want to risk someone else signing him.
Okay.
So he's going to be on the Hustle, and they're going to try to develop him on the Hustle.
Is Zach in a walking boot? Like,
he is not. He is not in a boot. He is not. They're saying Kelly. He's not really doing. He's not. I don't think he's full participant in practice. Again, we don't get to see practice, but we see him after practice. He's on the court. He's full dress, no boot, walking around.
So he is in the practice.
Yeah. No. Remember, he and Jaren both had the same when they did the last injury update. The injury updates on Jaren and Edie were the same. Now the timelines were different. But the updates were the same in that they had both been cleared to begin their ramp up. So the recovery is done. The ramp up has started. And so that means they are able to do basketball activities and to prepare themselves body-wise to get ready for the season. And with Edie, just because it was a more severe, more significant surgery, and probably because he's 7'5 and 300 pounds,
I would think that would have something to do with it.
It's going
to
take a little bit longer.
Have we gotten more clarity on what the surgery was? Because basically my understanding is, like, it's a stabilizing surgery, but I couldn't quite figure out. It's like, okay, who else has done this?
So a couple guys I know of who had at least roughly similar surgeries. One was Sam Merrill, who it was actually with the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
It was before he got established. And, you know, it took him, this was a guy who would not, he was a fringe guy. And he was out of commission for like a year or basically. Maybe he's probably out of commission longer than he would have been for the injury, because he had to find a team that wanted him,
correct,
right? So
yeah,
he probably could have played earlier than he did.
And I would imagine when you're a fringe player and you're coming off surgery, you're not exactly finding a lot of open arms.
So he was probably good to go probably a few months before he actually played, because he had to find a team that would sign him. But he has since established himself as a really good NBA player after that. The better comp, and this is 10 years ago, maybe longer, Taj Gibson, another front court player, not as big as Edie, but a front court player, and he was older. He was like 30, 31.
I mean, he was
like
old enough to where I watched him when I was in college, when he was at USC.
He had the same surgery at the end of a basketball season, and he was back on the floor to start the next season and had a perfectly fine career, and it did not alter him at all. And so, you know, Edie is bigger than Taj Gibson, but he is A, younger, and B, it's like 10 years later with better medical advances. And so, I mean, that's why it seems like hopefully it'll be fine.
When I read the Edie update, I kind of took it positively.
Yeah, I did too.
Because in my mind, I had it was like middle of December, and it's like, if that kind of works out, you could be talking about November.
if you had told me, like, you know, a couple months ago, like, okay, you know, would you take Christmas? You know, like,
yeah, no,
and
I was
like,
yeah,
you know, I wouldn't be excited about it, but yeah, I'll take it. You know, I'll take it. And now it's like, who knows? Maybe Thanksgiving. You know,
no, I mean, to your point, I definitely was thinking, like, when they announced the initial release or the press release with the first surgery, it's like my immediate reaction was like, that's January 1. Right. And like anything before that is great. But now it's almost like a month before that, because to me, there's such a clear difference, because since their schedule gets so condensed early before their trip to Europe, it's like, well, if he gets to the middle of December, we're talking about a 25 games versus right. In November. Now we're talking to that 10 to 15 game. And to me, like, that really changes kind of what I think about them in terms of number of wins that are possible.
No, I agree. I think Edie is very important to the team. The team is set up for Edie to be important to the team. The way Isla wants to play, it feels like Edie is important to the team. And it's the Edie injury is the one thing. The Clark injury, not great either. But if I could point to one thing and say this impacts my, you know, win-loss projection for the Memphis Grizzlies, the Zach Edie injury health situation, even more than the Desmond Bain trade, like, really, like, raises that for me.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Do you get the sense that your presumption coming into the year, which is Landau's going to essentially be the replacement for Edie, or the filler, I guess, the seat filler, if you will, right, for Edie? Do you get the sense that that's kind of where they're headed?
Yeah, and I think the Brandon Clark injury even makes that more clear. Now, in theory, like, if Jaren's ready to go opening day or shortly thereafter, they could go Jaren Santi. I mean, that would put your best players on the floor, and I think that lineup you'll see a lot. But all indications from everything, whether it's front office, whether it's head coach, whether it's players, every indication that I see suggests to me that Landale's going to be the starting center, you know, when the season begins. And then whether he even stays in the rotation when Edie comes back will depend on how he plays. Now, the fact that Brandon Clark will almost certainly still be out when Edie comes back, that leaves more opportunity for Landale to stay in the rotation even after Edie comes back. But I think he's you know, I think he will open as the starter, and he will be auditioning for a spot in the rotation. you know.
Do you think early this team's going to struggle to rebound?
I think rebounding is a yes. I mean, obviously more so than they will after Edie comes back. But even after Edie comes back, I think Edie is a one-man force as an offensive rebounder.
Yeah.
I think the offensive rebounding, once Edie is in the lineup, is going to be very, very good. But I think the defensive rebounding can be a problem even with Zach Edey, so much less without Zach Edey.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because they have a size – there's sort of a size issue with the Grizzlies. In theory, if they're at full strength, they could put out a functional lineup that is enormous. Like, I think they'd like to do this at some point. They could throw out there Zach Edey at center, Jaren Jackson at power forward, 7-foot Santi Aldama at the three, 6'8 Jalen Wells at the two, 6'5 Ty Jerome at the point guard. Like, that's a real lineup they could put on the floor that would be enormous. But if you look at the entirety of the roster and then you factor in the injuries, more often they're going to be scaling the other way.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, you know, a two guard backcourt with like Morant and Pippen or Pippen and Jerome or whatever. And it's going to be Jalen Wells at the three, not the two. And it's going to be Santi at the four, not the three. It's going to be Jaren at the five, not the four. I think they're going to have – you may look up at some point and, like, Omax Prosper is, like, small ball switchable center because, like, Zach Edey and Brandon Clark are both injured and Jock Landale's not playing 48 minutes, you know?
The other thing that I was curious about, because you've written a little bit about it, and I know we've talked a lot about it, but the Grizzlies have made bets since – and I guess you'd say that even the Desmond Bade trade is a bet. If we set aside the outcome, right, but just the thought process – I find myself going, I kind of like the bets. Like, with KCP, hey, yeah, you're not committing to him forever, but I don't think he's as bad as he was in Orlando. Is he going to be maybe as useful as he was in Denver? No, but I think he's going to be a better option. It gives them more defensive length, and more importantly, I don't have to watch the Desmond Bane lead ball handler thing, which I love Desmond Bane, but I never loved that. Like, yeah, there are some other things that they've done where I kind of really just like the thought process.
Yeah, I mean, the Bane thing is interesting because it's good. Bane, as good as Bane is, and Bane is a terrific player, they sort of knew, like, the structural limitations that having a Morant-Bane backcourt did give them in terms of defense and ball handling. And in terms of upside outcomes, they get at least two swings. Cedric Howard's a swing, and then the pick coming from Phoenix, more than likely, not necessarily from Phoenix, but likely from Phoenix, is likely a top-10 pick in what is thought to be a really good draft. Those are two swings for, like, higher upside outcomes, which is a phrase that Zach Kleiman used. The questions are, A, do you actually get the hit? Does the swing land on a higher upside sure outcome? And if it does, at what point, how quickly does that come to fruition on your timeline of, you know, John Morant, Jaren Jackson? But in fact, you look at the two swings to the higher end outcomes, and then you look at the salary flexibility in the context of a league that now is almost a hard cap, not technically hard cap, but is functionally a hard salary cap for most teams. Yeah. And so, you know, it's the level of return they were able to get from Bane made that a deal that I think most people would have considered doing.
Okay. Back to the Suns pick. Is there, if the Suns have the worst pick of all the options, is that the Grizzlies pick, or is there a scenario? Okay. Can you lay it out for me?
More complicated than that because the Wizards are involved.
Okay.
And so there's actually four draft picks in play in this whole thing, and the Grizzlies will get two of them. But the first team in line among all these swaps is the Washington Wizards.
Okay.
And so the first component of this is that Washington is only involved if their pick lands in the top eight. If their pick lands outside the top eight, it actually goes to New York, and they're just not involved at all.
You're saying Washington with their own pick?
Yeah, Washington's own pick has to be within in the top eight of the draft for that pick to be involved in this process. And if it's outside the top eight, that pick goes to New York, and it's just not involved in the process. It simplifies the process.
Okay.
But Washington's going to be terrible. So we're just operating on the assumption that pick's in the top eight.
So we're either hoping that Washington is slightly above terrible, or they get bad luck in the lottery.
Yeah, but Washington's expected to be like a bottom three team in the league, which means even if they got bad luck in the lottery,
five or six, yeah.
So we're just going to assume for simplified purposes, Washington pick is somewhere in the top eight.
Okay, that seems reasonable.
So if the Washington pick is in the top eight, they get first choice, they get first swap.
Okay.
Grizzlies get second swap. And so if the Suns pick jumps the Washington pick, then Washington will get the Suns pick and the Grizzlies get the Washington pick.
Okay.
So if the lottery happens and the Suns pick lands number one and the Washington pick lands number two, the Wizards will get the first pick, Grizzlies will get the second pick.
Okay, so the only way the Grizzlies wind up with the Suns pick, no questions asked, is if Washington just finishes ninth or higher in the draft.
In which case, again, even that's based on an assumption that the Suns are worse than the Magic.
Correct.
Because if the Magic, if for some reason the Magic implode and their pick's worse, the Grizzlies would get that pick.
Okay.
When everyone says the Grizzlies are getting the Suns pick, that is probably true, but it's a simplification of this
correct
swap situation involving four different teams.
Should this be this complicated?
but it is. Once you understand it, it's like not complicated, but it's complicated to explain. You can go on Tankathon and just hit the button a lot, and yeah, you'll get a sense for how it's going to work. But the expectation is that Washington will be the worst team of all the teams involved. The Suns will be the second worst team of all the teams involved. And the Grizzlies will get the Suns pick unless the Suns pick jumps the Washington
right
pick, in which case the Grizzlies will get the Washington pick.
Okay,
so the Grizzlies are highly unlikely to get the number one pick in the draft. But it's very reasonable that they could get the second or third pick.
Basically, the only way they wind up with the number one pick, or I guess maybe only, as you said, the Magic are involved as well,
would be the Wizards pick is not involved.
Correct.
And then Suns land number
so
one.
So the Wizards finish ninth or higher in the draft.
That pick is out of the mix. And then the Suns pick jumps number one. Right. Because otherwise, the Wizards will be able to take the higher pick.
I know it's obviously super early, and it's not like you've been grinding draft tape, but
I have not been grinding draft day. I've read some stuff.
I was going to say, my interpretation is that this draft is expected to be better than what last year's draft
yes,
was.
Yes, very much so. And this can change over the course of a season as guys play, but the thought now is that there are three. Last year was one.
Yeah.
As good as Dylan Harper was, he was not considered a first-tier kind of prospect.
There's not a team that would have gotten the number one pick that wouldn't have taken Flag.
That's right. This year, they're considered, and this could change, but what I've read is that there are three guys who are considered first-tier level prospects, and that's Darren Peterson, who's going to sort of a Kobe-esque wing, who's going to Kansas.
Yeah.
It's A.J. DeBanza, who's like a 6'9", forward going to BYU,
yeah,
and it's Cameron Boozer, or Carlos Boozer's son, who's a power forward going to Duke. And those are considered the top three in some order. And I don't know if any of them are right now considered the level of a Cooper Flag or certainly not a Wemby, but they're all considered like legit number one overall type players, and the three of them.
And obviously, I think the BYU and the Kansas guy would be the guys fit wise that it feels like the Grizzlies would be.
I don't know. I've thought about that a little bit. I mean, clearly the Grizzlies have been searching for the small forward forever, and
yeah,
the DeBanza guy sort of fits that. And you look at the front court and you're like, we got Jaren, you got Zach Edey, those two positions are locked up. But Brandon Clark, I don't know.
You and I feel like we've been on an island on this, but it's like, there's been nothing the last 2 years knee-wise that's made me feel
right
great. It's like,
and so Zach Edey is not a guy who's ever going to play 35 minutes a game.
Right.
And so a guy like Boozer, who seems like he could play with Jaren or with Edey.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity for that guy too,
Who is the best small forward in franchise history? Is it Mike?
In totality, it was probably Rudy Gay.
Yeah.
The best individual season by a true small forward in franchise history was James Posey during the 50-win Hubie year. James Posey that season was better. I know he didn't score as much.
Right.
But he was a better player. That's the best individual true small forward season the Grizzlies have ever had.
Well, Eric and I were actually talking about this yesterday afternoon, Eric was talking at me.
I could hear that.
Hubie kind of was ahead of the curve. If you look at the way the game's played today,
yep,
with the number of players, the shortened minutes, but everybody playing more shooting the three.
The pace, the defensive intensity, Hubie. I don't think I'd ever heard the word deflection in a basketball context,
yeah,
until Hubie. And I literally, back in the day, when I would do my post-game notebook stuff, I'd have a thing at the end for just like random notes. I called them deflections,
yeah,
as a tribute to Hubie. And so the idea of the defensive intensity, the pace, and having a big rotation that with lower minutes at the top,
right,
all the, like basically how Indiana Pacers played. Indiana Pacers played Hubie ball last year.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you set aside really SGA, but that's a lot of what the Thunder did.
No, that's right. No. But that series was two teams that played high pace with a deep rotation and in order to try to maintain intensity across 48 minutes.
And
that's the way Isola wants to play.
And I guess that's the question. So I think maybe Jeff had asked me this. Can this team, depth-wise, Because I think maybe the numbers are there, but like in terms of quality depth, can this team be as deep as the 21-22 season was?
It's the front court health question is the big question looming over this. Because when you take Edie and Brandon Clark both out for a month, that really changes the whole situation depth-wise. But if this team were at full strength, you're looking at a second unit that would have Ty Jerome, who finished third for sixth man of the year last year, Santi Aldama, who I think was a top five candidate for sixth man of the year until it faded late. I mean, he averaged like 12 points a game off the bench. Not a lot of guys did that. Brandon Clark, who, when he's healthy, has been one of the better bench players in the league his whole career.
My problem with Brandon has never been ability. It's health.
And then, like, sort of the forgotten man in all this, but I was ready to, like, write Scottie Pippen Jr., sleeper sixth man of the year candidate before they signed Ty Jerome.
Yeah.
And so those four guys as a core bench unit, and then whoever you throw in is the fifth guy. Maybe it's Cedric Howard emerges, right? Maybe it's Gigi Jackson, whoever.
How'd Cedric look in shorts and T-shirts?
We'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
Because there's something to say about that. Those four players as a bench unit, that's about as good as any team in the league in terms of bench talent. So I think the depth is there if they get healthy, but there's this concentration of injuries in the front court that really sort of throws that for a loop.
Well, and it also, like, to your point, it also kind of mirrors, if you think about, like, Scotty is not as long as D'Anthony Melton, but they're kind of in that same mold of, like, something happens.
Yes.
When they're there, they're tough, they're tenacious.
He doesn't reach out and get the rebounds like Melton did. But he's probably even a better, Melton's pretty good three-point shooter at a certain point, but Pippen, I think, is a better three-point shooter.
Yeah.
He's probably better at getting to the rim off the dribble, and he's a similar kind of dogged on-ball defender, and they both sort of had turnover problems.
Yeah.
And so, like, there is a lot of similarities to that.
Well, then, like, Ty Jerome can be Tyus Jones, except with a different makeup.
Almost
like,
the bigger version.
Yeah.
And a more aggressive shooter.
Yes.
A guy who's more aggressive at looking to score than Tyus was, even by the end of his Grizzlies tenure.
And while Santi...
He's a different look from Kyle Anderson, but similar quality.
Exactly. Right. Long arms, like they... I would argue Santi's...
He's not the defender, but he's more of a scorer.
Much,
and like, you know, you shift the skill set, but the quality-wise, it's not that different, right?
Like, they do kind of resemble that. Okay, back to your point about...
So Cedric Howard. So, like, everyone knows about the wingspan, right? That
yes,
was a big talking point, and you can see it. And everyone knows about the physical, at the combine, like the vertical leap, the lane agility, all that was very, very high. He tested out as one of the best athletes at the combine. You combine that with the wingspan. The thing that really is notable to me seeing him in person and standing next to him, the broad shoulders are like almost like a, like it doesn't look, it looks like, you know, some created by AI or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like he's wearing football style shoulder pads under his T-shirt.
Yeah, he's got the 3D printed shoulders.
100%. Yeah. It's like someone took a yardstick and put it under his T-shirt, and it's like it's kind of wild. And so he is definitely a physical specimen, and he's a physical specimen who shot 72% on twos as a featured perimeter player in college basketball, which is also wild. You put all that together, I'll write about Coward next week. I haven't gotten to that part of my previews. But one of the things I'm going to write about is sort of preaching patience on this, because we've got a history of this as a fan base in Memphis, of as soon as the new guy does anything good, you get overexcited about it,
uh-huh.
and then you get disappointed later on. It happened with Zaire Williams, and it happened with Gigi Jackson. And it's easy to see that happening with Cedric Howard. He has one good game in like the first 2 weeks, and then you're overboard, and then he struggles for a month because he's a 20-year-old rookie who hasn't played basketball. And like, so,
the truth is, while maybe I think it's more sustainable, but there's kind of an element of Jalen Wells there.
That's the thing, too. And that could be a different version of the Zaire thing where you come off the rookie season and maybe you're a little over your skis about what a guy is. I do think with Jalen, there's just such a solidity to his game. I wonder about the ceiling, how much better he can be than he already is. But I don't wonder too much about him regressing from what he already is.
No, because I'm with you. To me, it's like, I feel confident in saying this guy is a rotational NBA player for a very long time. But in terms of him being a two or a three guard, like on a great team, I'm not convinced yet.
The additional steps,
right.
You know, as both as a scorer and as a disruptive defender. We know he can guard his guy, but he didn't really rebound or generate steals or any of that. It'll be interesting to see him defensively next to a guy like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who, like, you know, Jalen Wells was like, you guard the best guy all last year as a rookie? KCP's been doing that for 10 years.
Yeah.
That's been his job. And so it'll be interesting to see sort of how they work together.
Chris, really appreciate having you in here.
Thanks.
That is Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian. When we come back, It's time for Jeff's Bets, the Week 6 card coming up next right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. If you're looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union would be the place to go to. And I can say that. And you should put stock in my words. Because when Claire moved to Memphis, that's where I suggested she go. And it's been fabulous. She has been so happy with it that her two sons, she suggested that that's where they go. We all opened up accounts at Leaders Credit Union. The technology's fabulous. Honestly, just dealing with them has been really nice. We've been looking for talking about a new mortgage. And there's people to talk to on the phone. They're incredibly helpful. It makes a lot of sense, though, because as a credit union, they don't have stockholders. They don't have overlords, corporate overlords. Every single penny goes back into better technology, better rates, and better service. And so it's been our experience. We went to the one in Bartlett. There's a location you can walk in Bartlett, Leaders Credit Union. There's also a brand new one in Arlington. I haven't been to that one, but that's there as well. All I really have to do, though, is download the app and sign up, and you will see. So whether you are looking for a mortgage, whether you're looking for a car loan, or whether you're just like want to set up a new checking account or do something different because your bank is irritating you, Leaders Credit Union. Check them out, leaderscu.com/ESPN. All right, Jeffrey, it is that. Speaking of banks, it is time for me to continue to make bank every single year. As some of you know, I go to Leaders Credit Union and I ask for the 10 crispest $100 bills they have, and they give them to me. And then I hand them over to Jeffrey and I say, go forth and invest. A caveat. One listener points out this isn't actual investing. It's gambling, but whatever. That's true. But the way it's going, Jeffrey, it's been a rollicking success. Where are we on our ledgers right now?
Jeff, through, I guess we should technically say through 6 weeks of football. I know it is week six.
That's sad, by the way. It brings a tear to my eye.
I know. We did make week zero bets, but through week five of college football, we are at 35-23-2. Your $1,000 is now $2,000 or $2,015.
Oh my gosh, That's beautiful. How am I going to spend that money? Well, I'm just going to reinvest it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to reinvest it. All right, Jeffrey, how you feel about the card this week? Oh, that's sad. I like to hear a little more optimism from my investment professionals.
We have some principal plays. And, Jeff, that's what we're going to start with. We have a principal play at 11 a.m. on CBS tomorrow. We have Air Force and Navy. People, you know what we do. We got two service academies playing. We have a point total that is alarmingly high. And most people would sit there and go, well, that seems like a spot to take the over. No, no, no. Since 2005, unders against service academies, 47, 12, and 1. Wow. We've got under 52 between Air Force and Navy.
Air Force and Navy. It's a principal play, ladies and gentlemen. Under 52. Next.
Jeff, let's go to Cincinnati, Ohio. I don't know if you've been keeping up, but we've got the undefeated Iowa State Cyclones going to Cincinnati. Cincinnati kind of flying under the radar. They had the very high-profile loss in week one on the Thursday night against Nebraska. Since then, they've really rebounded and played well. More importantly, Iowa State is getting ravaged by injuries. Both starting corners out for the season. They are down not one, but two kickers amongst many others. We've got Cincinnati. We'll lay the two at home, knocking off the 5-0 Iowa State Cyclones.
Cincinnati minus two over Iowa State. Next.
Jeff, this is, sure, we'll dance. Virginia Tech shouldn't really be favored right now against anyone. Give me Wake Forest. Give me 6 points at Virginia Tech Lane Stadium. You can watch this one on the CW at noon tomorrow. I'll go ahead and I'll take six with Wake.
Do you enjoy watching this game?
No, that's one of those bet it, don't watch it. Just watch the scores.
Wake plus six over Virginia Tech. Next.
Jeff, another system that we've been riding pretty hard. Mm-hmm. We look for teams that are traveling a long way, and we fade them. The Washington Huskies, fresh off the Ohio State game, go all the way to Maryland. Malik Washington has been a very, very good quarterback so far. Unfortunately, he does not have very good receivers, but the Terps catching 6.5 will take Maryland plus 6.5 against Washington, 2:30 tomorrow. You can watch that, I believe, on BTN.
Maryland plus 6.5 over the Huskies. Next.
I mean, Jeff,
duh.
Diego's getting points.
Oh, God forbid. You're not doing that, really?
Diego's getting 10.5 as a road underdog. Diego Pavia, 11-1 ATS as a starter in games that he finishes.
But revenge.
They don't do well with running quarterbacks, and they just played a wildly emotional game against Georgia.
This is also a wildly emotional game.
It's plus 10.5. I'm not asking him to win. I'm asking him to stay within two touchdowns.
And you know what? It is true that Diego Pavia said if they play their game, it won't be close.
It won't be close. And Jeff, I've got a bonus twofer for you.
Anchor down.
Let's take the over. This game will be fun. I don't know if anyone's going to stop anyone. Give me over 55.5. Give me plus 10.5 with the Doors.
Over 55.5. How about this? Vandy plus 10.5. And then just go ahead and take the over. It's going to be a shootout. Over 55.5. Next.
Jeff, this is a gross move.
Oh, well. I expect nothing less.
This is disgusting.
Sounds like your specialty here.
I'll tell you what else is disgusting.
What's that?
Watching Michael Hawkins play quarterback.
Oh, yeah, you're not a big fan.
Michael Hawkins, in games that he started last year, the Oklahoma Sooners averaged 12 points offensively per game.
Ooh.
Kent State, the Golden Flashes, coming into town. Arguably the worst team in Power 5.
You're not going to
maybe
do this
by a really wide margin.
How many?
They're catching 45.5.
Oh, my
God. I just need one score, boys. I need one score. Give me one. I'll take 45.5.
This is absolutely
and I'll lay
gross.
It.
This is
I'll
gross.
Lay it.
Kent State.
Disgusting.
Plus.
You got to do it.
I don't even know how you watch that.
Oh,
how do you like to?
On a scoreboard.
45.5.
You just open up the app.
All right. What else we got?
Let's see, Jeff. We've been perusing the board, let's go to Fort Worth. All right, Jeff. TCU hosting Colorado.
By the way, you're making this seem like you're making this up on the fly.
Yeah, we are. We are organically building the card.
I like my investments to be studied and
Well, we've been studying throughout the week.
Okay,
we're looking at the menu, Jeff. Right, it's like a play caller with his play sheet where I'm just trying to find. I'm trying to find my third down place.
I like the metaphor. Go ahead.
Yeah, TCU, fresh off a Arizona State loss that was wildly painful. Like, wildly painful, if you were watching it. It was a push for us, though. Colorado comes to town, and Colorado was frisky against BYU, but that game was in Boulder. This game's in Fort Worth, and one thing I know about Sonny Dykes, he has a very, very long memory, and I do not think that what Colorado did to him 2 years ago, fresh off the national championship game, sits very well. It's minus 13
remind
and a half.
Remind the people what?
It was Deion's first game at Colorado. They came in, they upset him, and they just were moonwalking all over the place. It ends up leading to about a 4-8 season for the Horned Frogs. We're going to lay 13 and a half. Let's get the Frogs.
TCU minus 13 and a half over the Buffs.
Jeff, this is the I'm trusting my eyes game of the week.
Okay.
I think Miami's a lot better than Florida State. And I am very scared because gambling brain, 1,000%, 10 times out of 10, says you got to take Florida State in this game.
Why?
Fresh off the loss, the line's only 4 points, and you're sitting there going like, what? This is too easy. They're begging you. They're begging you to take Miami. You should be on Florida State. Well, the same was true when Florida played Miami. Guess what the right side was the whole game? It was Miami. The lines of scrimmage in this game are not the same. I'm going to lay the Hurricanes. I'll lay the four. We're putting up our use.
Don't you think Florida State will put up points here? Like, they score. They do. And can Miami?
I don't know if they're going to score against this defense.
Well, that's the thing.
I don't know if they're going to block them.
Miami minus four over Mike Norvell and Florida State.
Jeff, this is my I have flipped my opinion game of the week.
Coming into the week, I didn't know that was a category. Yeah.
Coming into the week, I kind of thought, all right, Mississippi State's going to A&M. This feels like a tough spot, and I kind of liked A&M. I just don't know if there's an SEC team that should be favored by 15 points. Give me Mississippi State. I'll ride with the Bulldogs. They're undefeated against the spread. Let's ride them until it doesn't hit anymore. Give me the Bulldogs.
Mississippi State plus 15 over Texas A&M.
And, oh, let's go back. I'm going to do this one. Let's go back to 11 a.m.
Okay.
Give me Boston College plus 6.5 against Pitt. I don't think Pitt's offense should be favored by a touchdown against anyone.
Okay. So that's the card?
That's the card.
Let me ask you about a few other games that you have not mentioned. Do you have any thoughts on, well, let's start with Memphis. What's the line?
It is 20.5.
And if you had to bet that, what would you bet?
I think if I were having to bet it, the one thing that I can't ignore, hat tip to Ryan Silverfield showing some growth. Jeff, my man was looking for some style points last week.
Was he looking for style points or was he angry about what was happened on the field, and so therefore he decided to put the hammer down.
Little column A, little column B.
All right, so you would, if you had to bet that game, you would go ahead and take
it. I would go ahead and lay it.
Do you have any thoughts on Boise State, Notre Dame?
I kind of think Notre Dame's also in that same mold where they're looking for style points, but asking that defense to sit there and win by three touchdowns is a little difficult for me.
Any thoughts on Florida, Texas?
Gross.
What's the line there?
It's 5.5. It is the lowest point total in an SEC game in 2 years at 41.5.
It's really interesting, though. Gross, but interesting, isn't it? Like, the Florida defense has been good. You get Arch against the Florida defense.
Right, but I don't really want to watch Arch against Florida's, like, I just don't want to watch either of those offenses.
What if Arch can be Arch? What if this is the Arch this reclaiming his mantle?
If he can't be an Arch against UTEP, why would I think in his first SEC road start?
Because he straightened himself out. That's a it is a pressure spot for Arch, right? And therefore interesting. No?
I mean, this can be the get it back on track
game. That's what I'm saying. Okay, but if you had to bet it, what's the line? Line is
5.5. I think I'd lay it. In the games that I referenced in the last 4 years, point totals of 41.5 or fewer in SEC conference game, the favorite won and covered in 3 of the 4. The one game that the favorite didn't cover, they lost outright. I don't think Florida can win this game, so I would just lay it with Texas.
Are you interested in either, for different reasons, Clemson versus UNC or Virginia versus Louisville?
All right, we've got an ad.
Oh, no.
We've got an ad.
I didn't mean to do that.
We've got an ad. Jeff, this is the last time. If they can't cover against North Carolina, 14 points. Clemson, one of the few teams all season that still has not covered a point spread.
That's incredible.
They go to Chapel Bill.
Oh, my God.
They're laying 14.
You're going to do it.
And I'll lay it.
Clemson minus.
Show me something.
Clemson minus 14 over Chapel Bill. So there you go. All right. So here's the card, folks. Air Force, Navy, go ahead, take the under. Under 52. Cincinnati, lay the 2. And Cincinnati, minus 2 over Iowa State. Wake, plus 6 over Virginia Tech. Maryland, plus 6.5 over Washington. Vandy, plus 10.5 over Alabama. And it's going to be a crazy one, so just go ahead and bet the over as well. That's over 55.5. I don't know how you're going to stomach this, but what you're going to do is you're going to take Kent State plus 45.5 over Oklahoma and Michael Hawkins. TCU minus
Junior.
Minus 13.5 junior. TCU minus 13.5 over Dion and the Buffs. Miami minus 4 over Florida State, because let's be honest, they just look better, ladies and gentlemen. He's riding with State. State always covers. It's a different State team this year. State 15 is too many to give them. State plus 15 over Texas A&M. I don't understand why this one's on the card, but BC plus 6.5 over Pitt. And a late addition to the card, Clemson minus 14 over UNC.
Oh, we're going to do it again.
What's that?
We're going to trust it. Cal,
oh my God.
Duke's going all the way across the country.
Go Duke.
Cal plus 2.5. Give me the Bears. Give me the Calgarithm.
Cal plus 2.5 over the Blue Devils. So there you go. I will not read the entire card again, even though I believe in the integrity of reading that whole card at once. Just tack that one on at the end. Cal plus 2.5 over Duke. Not the most entertaining weekend. We've had better, but you never know what the weekend will bring. All right, we got to take a break. Back in a minute. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.